What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to, or watching as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about choosing goodness. You know, good habits affect a good life, or good habits cause a good life. Bad habits cause a bad life. Today, I want to challenge you and encourage you to choose good. It is a worthy endeavor. For those of you that are just coming in, we are so glad you're here. You'll see on the bottom left, subscribe to our Substack. If you'll go to substack.com/@ Christianity Now, you'll be able to find mine and Aaron's Substack. It's under Christianity Now brand, and we put out a lot of articles. We put out some for paid subscribers, but if you just go and you're a free subscriber, you'll get access to a lot of stuff we do, including this article that we're going to look at today. We're going to look at eight things. I'll read the introduction to the article. "In a world rife with negativity, choosing to focus on the good seems not only rebellious, but necessary. The Bible provides ample guidance on how to orient our lives around goodness and leave a legacy worth celebrating. Here are eight principles," and that's what we're going to talk about today. And incidentally, I stole them off Facebook. Are you okay with that? I hope you are. So here are eight principles that I stole from Facebook, supported by biblical wisdom, that can help us foster positivity and have a meaningful impact. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And if you want access to many more articles like this that help you with matters of doctrine when in your walk of faith, some of them get pretty in-depth. Some of them are pretty, you know, formally written. Some of them are written in a conversational tone. Some of them are written in a, well, it just, go check it out. We're proud of our Substack. And again, you can subscribe for free. And if you want to, become a paid subscriber and see those things behind the paywall, we even have a 7-day free trial. So let me get into this. Remember, subscribe to our Substack, substack.com/@Christianity Now. And we have a sponsor for today's episode. Contact lindsayfaye.dotson@gmail.com. Are you part of a church organization seeking effective ways to spread the word about your event? Well, look no further. Lindsay Dotson specializes in designing modern advertisements for churches of Christ. Whether it's flyers, postcards, or social media graphics, Lindsay has got you covered. Reach out through a private message on Facebook or send an email to lindsayfaye.dotson.com for more details. Don't miss the opportunity to make your message resonate both far and wide. Contact Lindsay Dotson today. Thank you so much to Lindsay Faye Dotson for sponsoring the show. And now, I'm going to put up, because I've been asked to do so, the tip jar. You can send that. That is a address for our PayPal, and you can do that if you want to. If not, I understand. Good morning, and we have, watching in the We Talk Truth group, a fella or lady. Good morning. Remember, if you comment in the We Talk Truth group, it doesn't show me your name. It just says Facebook user. So we are so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us. And for those of you that are watching, please be the algorithm for us. We're going early today because I've got some stuff associated with local work and such that I've got to do, that I've got to make some time for. Now, let's get into the meat of the podcast. This is Friday. As you go into the weekend, think about choosing goodness, the biblical roadmap to a positive legacy. Let's just get right into these eight principles. Well, number one, why would you choose goodness? Well, it's worth fighting for. Hello, Sheila Coe. Good morning to you. So when challenges arise, it can be tempting to throw in the towel. But as Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Struggles, folks, are inevitable. Yet our response to them define us. Standing firm in goodness and integrity is worth every battle that we encounter. Oh, wow, Phillips Carman, I love Substack. I've been reading your articles to my boys every morning before school, and we have had some great conversations, but I can't leave a comment on Substack for some reason. Philip, that is weird. I'm going to go in and make sure that we haven't got some kind of setting. We have an option whenever we put an article of whether or not it's for paid subscribers only or free subscribers, and then we have an option of choosing who can content. And Aaron and I both have decided, like, we're going to let anybody comment. I think I said contact. We're going to let anybody comment that wants to comment. So I'm going to go just double check after the podcast, it'll be later this afternoon, and see if, I hope I haven't got some kind of setting messed up. So I'm glad for that feedback. But Sheila Coe, Substack is a website. Let me put the address up. Substack is a website, like a social media platform, but it focuses on the written word. It focuses on articles. And Aaron and I have been, we've been at this, I don't know, around 3 or 4 weeks now. And you can subscribe for free. We do have a paid subscription, but again, you will get a whole lot of value just for the free. And it puts you on an email list. You get contacted whenever we drop an article, so you don't ever miss an article. It's not like Facebook or other social media platforms. And there's no friction as far as getting the material out to your audience. For instance, I'm streaming on the Christianity Now Facebook page, and we have almost 7,000 followers, and Facebook does not put our material in front of our followers. Well, Substack, however many followers you have, that's how many followers your material is put in front of. So it's really good, and that's why Aaron and I have really grown kind of quickly on Substack. We have our articles getting, you know, between 50 to 70 reads every article. And even the paid articles, we have people clicking on them and looking at them, and that's where we've got our paid subscribers. We've got 5 paid subscribers now, which, you know, isn't a lot, but you know what? It's a start. And it's a really good platform that isn't encumbered by some of this political dampening and some of this mess. I'll just put it like that. But anyway, bottom left of the screen, there's subscribe to our Substack. I don't know if you can click the link, but if you go to substack.com and search for Christianity Now, I'm sure you'll find us. Or if you'll go to my Facebook page and just look for one of the articles I've shared, click on that article and it'll take you to Substack. So the link is on the screen there, Sheila. Like I said, you can go to my Facebook page and look at one of the articles that come from Substack and click on the article, and it'll take you from Facebook to Substack. All right, let me get this back up, and we're not going to leave that tip jar up for long because it makes me feel weird. But I was asked by a couple people to do it, so that's what we're doing it. So, why do we choose good? Well, it's worth fighting for. You know, Ephesians 6:11, we wear the whole armor of God. Struggles are inevitable, yet our response to them define us. We got to stand firm in goodness and integrity, and it's worth every battle that we encounter. Now, another reason, choosing good is worth our time. Making time for good deeds and uplifting activities isn't wasted effort. In James chapter 4, verse 14, we're reminded, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. So our time is limited. Our life in that same context is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it's gone. Investing in worthwhile causes aligns us with eternal principles. It's never a waste of time to do the right thing. It's never a waste of time to do good. So many people, we forget that. We really do. And it's hard in this fast-paced lifestyle where we have so much tax on our time. It's hard not to be jaded and cynical and to be soft-hearted and kind of open yourself up. I read on Facebook, maybe I should have put it in this article, I read on Facebook a meme where there is somebody that you have forgotten about who still remembers you because you did some small amount of good for them, something that was insignificant to you, but it potentially changed their life and at the very least changed their day. So, number three, the good, choosing good. Good is worth preserving, okay? Good is worth preserving. Preserving goodness involves valuing and promoting virtues like justice, compassion, righteousness. Proverbs 23:23 advises, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Folks, when we preserve what is good, we sustain a resource that benefits not only ourselves, but everyone we come in contact with. Everyone we come in contact with, we benefit. Do you know people like that? People that whenever you're around them, you are a better person. I remember whenever I was working at Tractor Supply, there was a store manager, and he just had this way of getting the most out of everybody that worked under him, including myself. And like I was 10 years his senior. This is just, he was just one of those kind of men that you would lay siege to the deepest pits of hell with wooden weapons. I mean, it's just, you'd follow him and you'd die with him or for him for that matter. And I'm not talking about dying for him. What I mean is in a war, I'm a man, so I use men illustrations. I don't know how you would soften this illustration, but the idea is you would follow him into battle is the idea. But he had this way about him. And I think about Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not, wisdom, instruction, understanding. And so self-actualized was this individual that there were people that whenever he and I were working together, they thought I was the store manager and he was the subordinate, because he was able to sit back and just let me do my thing. Like I said, he just got the most out of people. He made everybody around him better. I'm not like that. I'm like that a little bit in spurts. But he just had that talent. Anyway, the good is worth preserving. We need to preserve the good, preserve these virtues, store them up, and then help them or allow them to be the influence that helps us make the world a better place. So, it's going to take a little effort. Folks, that's number four. It's worth the effort. Effort spent in good pursuits is never vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 tells us, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So many times we think, well, we've done good for this person. We've never seen them again. I think about the Lord's church practicing benevolence. the Lord's church, collectively and individually, can practice benevolence. And when I say collectively, that's a congregation on a congregational level. And individually, that's individuals that comprise the Lord's church. We can participate in benevolence, and we can get discouraged thinking, well, we've probably helped some people that don't need it, that we squandered the money, and we've probably helped people that do need it, but we've never been able to follow up with them to make any kind of long-term impact in their life that we know of. So evidently, it's just not worth the effort to keep trying to do the good. Folks, the Bible says, be steadfast and unmovable. You do the right thing, we do good, not because it's profitable to us and others, but because it's what God wants us to do. That's the key. And when we do it for that reason, God's going to take care of the increase. Okay? And of course, I'm appropriating from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. But I'm not talking about in evangelism. I'm just talking about in our daily lives. Our lives will increase. Our lives will be blessed. Well, how? Let God work that out. God is the one who blesses, is he not? You live a life striving to be worthy of the blessing, and God will take care of it. So it's worth our effort to do good. But what about our energy? And I know this is there's a juxtaposition there, and there might not be enough of a dichotomy to draw an accurate to draw an accurate dichotomy. But the idea is that this energy, channeling energy towards a positive, leads to a satisfying life. So the effort in the work, but then the mental energy that you channel towards this mindset and lifestyle is worth it. So channeling our energy towards the positive leads to a satisfying life. Romans 12:21 suggests, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, by consistently choosing good, we not only better ourselves, but also improve the environment around us by bettering ourselves. And it is always a worthy endeavor, and it's worth the energy it takes to better ourselves. We improve the environment around us. This is seen in a systemic approach to therapy. Whenever, like with life coaching or counseling, in either one, whenever you help somebody get their life better, it affects the system in which they live. That's why whenever you have one individual in a family system that is crashing and burning, if that person gets the help they need, then nobody else gets any help, but the entire family system is elevated. It's helped. Well, that's why it's worth our energy, folks, because it pays dividends orders of magnitude greater than the energy put in, and that's a good deal. All right, I'm about tired of having this tip jar hanging out. I'm going to shut her down. For our listening audience that don't watch, www.nearchurches@gmail.com. Now I'm going to put the Substack link back up. And my suggestion, if you don't want to send a tip, go subscribe to Substack. All right, bear with me. Let me get back to the comments. Now, well, what about choosing that which is good? Why do you choose that which is good? Because the good is worth magnifying. Number 7, listen, goodness, once identified, should be amplified for a broader impact. Think about Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, let me give a caveat here. This doesn't mean that whenever we see a homeless guy and we want to give him a hamburger, we take a selfie video of us giving the homeless guys hamburger. There are channels on YouTube and TikTok that are dedicated to finding people that are without and blessing them with material goods, and they make this content. I cannot stand that. It is so cringy to me. Like, why would you film that? To me, that says something about you. What you want to do is you want to be discovered doing good. I think about, we're going to go to the trusty rusty e-sword here. Proverbs 27. This is not in the article. Proverbs 27, the first few verses there, but particularly verses 1 and 2. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, and let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. Jeremiah 10:23, the Facebook user says, I know the way of man is not in himself, is not in man who walketh to direct his steps. Amen. That's absolutely correct. Now, when I see these TikTok channels and these YouTube channels that are dedicated to producing content of showing quote-unquote good works where people are giving money to homeless folks and buying poor people groceries and stuff like that, it makes me puke a little bit in my mouth. I just cannot stand it. And like, I'm glad that the good is being done, but the good is tainted, is it not? So the idea is, let someone else speak this of you. You do what you do, and the truth will out. Did you know that phrase, the truth will out, that works for something negative? In other words, if you're hiding sin and you're lying about it and stuff like that, the truth will come out. But if you're doing good and you're living your life in such a way that you live in a life of integrity and character, people are going to know that. There's kind of a trope now where people are asking, like man on the street videos and stuff like that, where people are asking if they have contingency plans. Like, you're getting old enough now that what are you going to do with these, with certain things in your bedroom when you die, and what about your phone? Because most people, they don't want people going through their phone because of the wicked stuff that's on it. So the truth is going to out one day. Yeah, don't be like the tax collector. That's right. Don't be like the tax collector. What chapter is that? Is that Luke 18? There's three prayers in that chapter. There's the prayer of the persistent widow. There's the prayer of the tax collector. Is it the publican and the prayer of the sinner? Be the sinner. He wouldn't even raise his head up to heaven. And something else just come to mind, Facebook user. What about whenever Jesus taught the disciples about greatness, and he said, whenever you go to a dinner party, don't take the highest honor seat, because it's very possible that somebody might come in who claims more honor than you, and you'll be made to look a fool. You'll lose face in the sight of the guests because they'll make you move down and let the person with more honor. What you want to do is you want to take the least honorable seat. That way, when the founder of the feast comes in, he'll look at you in front of everybody and say, hey, no, you need to come up. I've reserved this seat of honor for you. You deserve a higher honor. Always diminish yourself. Always needs to diminish the good works. But the good works will be magnified, I promise you. Matthew 18:17. Good deal. All right. Good deal. Yeah. All right. So it is worth magnifying. When we magnify what is good, we inspire others to do the same. And here's the thing. Don't magnify your own good. Look for the good of others to magnify. Now, number next, this is the final one. It's worth duplicating. Goodness is the most effective when it's shared and replicated. As it is written, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, this is in the context of the gospel and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Spreading the good amplifies its effect, creating a virtuous cycle. The idea here that I'm trying to communicate is be a person who's always known for doing good, and you will affect others to the point where they will be doing good also. I think of that, and I'm going to look it up right now, L-A-T-I, Latin phrase. I can't do anything anymore under the pressure of being live. Isn't it terrible? So, uva uvum viendo vadria fit. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct, but the English, according to the Lonesome Dove author, Larry McCurdy, he says, I found it in Gurney Putnam's Complete Book of Quotations. The proverb is a Latin proverb. The grape changes its hue, ripens by looking at another grape. It's very similar to iron sharpens iron in the Bible. But the idea is you've got a grape that's an old sour grape, and by itself, it would be very, very hard to ripen. But if it ripens but a group of grapes together are all going to affect one another in a positive way, and those grapes will change its hue. In fact, one grape ripening will trigger the process of other grapes ripening. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye imitators of me, just as I also imitate Christ. That's what Paul said. And that's, quite frankly, that's pretty good advice. Now, the conclusion. Choosing to focus on the good is not just a lifestyle choice. It's a commitment to a higher form of living. By adopting these eight principles we've discussed, we don't just improve our own lives, folks. We impact the world for the better. Remember, a positive legacy isn't built in grand, sweeping gestures, but in daily decisions to choose, preserve, and propagate what is good. Always, and I think Socrates said this, always when you have a choice between what is right and what is easy, do what is right. He could have just as well said, when you have a choice between doing what is good and what is easy, do what is good. Because if it is right, it's godly, and to be godly is to be good. Nothing can be good unless it's also godly. Think about that. So remember, choose goodness. Why? Because it's worth fighting for. It's worth our time. It's worth preserving. It's worth our effort and our energy. It's worth pursuing. It's worth magnifying. And it's worth duplicating. As the Facebook user says, be the light. You're a city set on a hill. You're salt and light, and if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted. It is good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. To expand on that illustration, Roman soldiers used to be paid in salt. That's where we get the term, he's worth his salt. But salt has not always been what you and I know it to be now. Salt was not nearly so refined, so salt would actually lose its savor, its ability to affect what is around it. And when it went bad, then it really turned into gravel, and they would just use that salt that had lost its savor to gravel the paths in the streets, the sidewalks, and such like, so that people would walk on it, and because that's all it was good for at that point. Choose what is good or be salt that has lost its savor. Folks, good morning, Sue Ross. Good to see you. I really appreciate every one of you and the comments that you've given. Remember, subscribe to Christianity Now Streams. Don't forget understanding the times. I need to make a bottom third for that. Aaron puts out a 1-minute video every few days. In fact, I'm going to drop it this afternoon. And he goes on a walk every day, and every few days he tries to take a 1-minute video of some thoughts that he's having, and you can find those on Understanding the Times, and you can find links and stuff to the articles on Substack on Understanding the Times, and we would love for you to subscribe to the Instagram, Understanding the Times, and Christianity Now Streams on YouTube, and then remember, follow the Substack. If you want to support us, there are two ways that you can do that. You can go to Buy Me a Coffee, www.buymeacoffee, or you can go to Patreon, www.patreon.com, and both of those are /Christianity Now. But if you don't like any of those platforms, you can just send a tip or whatever, a donation to www.nearchurches@gmail.com. Please consider subscribing to the Substack, subscribe to the podcast. Thank you so much. God bless you. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations, and we will catch you on the flip side.